This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Few presidents have spoken the language of faith as fluently or as often as George W. Bush. Whether it is finding comfort in the Psalms after the Columbia shuttle disintegrated, or using biblical terms to describe the terrorists behind the 9/11 attacks, President Bush draws from his personal faith to lead the country. In the second of our reports on religion and politics, NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty looks at how Mr. Bush's faith has shaped his policies.
A few minutes before 8 in the morning, two dozen men saunter into the whitewashed chapel at Gospel Rescue Ministries in downtown Washington. A rugged wooden cross, 10 feet tall, dominates the room. Standing before the cross, Rochelle Baker, a former drug addict, coaxes the men toward God.
I've decided to walk with Jesus. Yes, I have.
Gospel Rescue Ministries has been helping addicts for nearly a century, in recent years, with hundreds of thousands of federal dollars. The men live here at 5th and H Streets for 1 year, an intensive period of addiction counseling, education, and developing new job skills. But the centerpiece of the program is God.
I just like to thank God for waking up this morning clean and sober. God has just worked miracles in my life, and I just want to give him praise. Thank you.
Amen. The men stand up one by one to say how God has transformed their lives. Each tells a different story as to how he arrived at Gospel Rescue Ministries. Mark Williams couldn't keep a job because of his coke habit. His marriage grew so fragile that one night last May, his wife told him to leave the house.
So I went down to a friend's house, got high a little bit. I ended up waking up in the morning in an abandoned van, and I looked around and said, this is not me. You know, I'm much better than this. God has not kept his hands on me to go out like this.
Williams took the subway straight to Gospel Rescue Ministries and joined the program that morning. He says he's been through secular treatment programs before, but this one fills the spiritual emptiness that drove him to cocaine in the first place.
You put the drugs down, but you still can be a messed up person inside, and you're going to lead yourself right back to the drugs if you don't clean you out. So one thing about a spiritual-based program is that it cleans the inside as well as the outside as well as the habit. It's an overall makeover.
This is language that George W. Bush would embrace, because by his own account, the president has undergone a spiritual makeover himself. David Aikman, who authored a book about the president's religious life, says the turning point came in the summer of 1985, when Mr. Bush, who had a taste for alcohol, met with Billy Graham at Kennebunkport, Maine.
On that walk on the beach, one day, Billy Graham said to George W. Bush, who at that time was a not particularly successful businessman in Midland, Texas, "What is your relationship with God?" And that really set him thinking.
Within a year, Aikman says, Mr. Bush had stopped drinking and experienced a spiritual awakening.
Ever since he saw what happened in his own life, I think Bush realized that the opportunity for personal transformation was something the Almighty bestows upon everybody.
And now, as president, Mr. Bush has turned that personal conviction, his own story, into policy, telling groups large and small that personal transformation is a centerpiece of his social programs.
Listen, our society is going to change one heart and one soul at a time. It changes from the bottom up, not the top down.
Under the president's faith-based initiative, religious organizations have won more than $1 billion in government funds this year, working with drug addicts, the homeless, convicts, all with God at the center. But some analysts worry that President Bush's policy by anecdote is bringing the wrong changes to public life.
President Bush is trying to move the church-state line.
Melissa Rogers teaches religion and public policy at Wake Forest University Divinity School. She says the administration is radically reshaping the constitutional barriers that keep government from promoting religion. When Congress refused to pass much of the faith-based initiative into law, the president ordered rule changes to allow the federal government to give money to religious groups. Now the administrative roots have penetrated deep into the bureaucracy. 10 federal agencies, 20 governor's offices, and more than 100 cities actively seek faith-based groups to carry out social policy. The administration says the government is doing nothing illegal, like paying for religious indoctrination. But Rogers and others say that has yet to be tested.
To some extent, I think the administration has gone way out on a legal limb and turned to faith-based providers and said, come join us out here. It's safe. The problem is, it's not.
Bob Blendon, who teaches public policy at the Kennedy School at Harvard University, says other presidents have given government money to religious organizations. Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton often spoke of faith as a guiding star in their lives, but he says Mr. Bush is running his policies through a new religious screen.
He actually articulates that he's making public policy decisions about the future of the country, based on his religious and spiritual values. And this is one step up above any of the other presidents.
For example, reports show that the administration has shifted millions of dollars from comprehensive sex education programs in schools, which teach kids about condoms, to abstinence-only programs as a means of combating teen pregnancy and AIDS. It's transferred welfare money for unwed mothers to religious programs that promote marriage. The USAID has shifted $350 million in HIV/AIDS funding abroad to faith-based groups, which some critics worry will emphasize abstinence over sex education. Kirk Gottfried, a physicist at Cornell University and chairman of the Union of Concerned Scientists, says it's perfectly reasonable to make policy based on ideology.
That's not what's being criticized here. What's being criticized is that ideology or religion trumps the scientific view of the world without the scientific view of the world being really incorporated often into decision-making.
Earlier this year, 5,000 scientists, including 48 Nobel laureates, signed a scathing report about the president's policies. They assailed the president's approach to stem cell research as ideological. They said the administration distorts science, for example, stating there's a relationship between abortion and breast cancer, or saying that condoms are not very effective in preventing sexually transmitted diseases. Gottfried says it's not unusual for scientists to disagree with policy.
But this is the first time, to my knowledge, and I've been involved in these issues for a long time, where an administration has been criticized on so broad a front by so many scientists, scientists going all the way from astronomy to public health.
Clearly, science has to have an important voice in this debate, but it can't have the only voice.
Jim Toohey heads the White House Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives.
Why shouldn't the United States government give addicts, for example, a choice in their treatment instead of just throwing them into the county program because extreme secularists said those are the only ones that can be directly funded by government because otherwise we're going to be violating the wall between church and state? That's easy for them to say. It's very unfair to the poor addict who'd like access to a program that might lead to a life transformation.
In fact, there appear to be no comprehensive studies yet showing whether faith-based programs are more or less effective than secular programs. But many people, like Rochelle Baker, former crack user who is now the Gospel Rescue Ministry's lead singer, don't need hard statistics.
I don't know. The only proof that I can offer that it works is that it's working through me.
Which is the only kind of proof available right now. An unfinished story that holds hope and uncertainty. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
When I see Jesus, when I see the man.
Tomorrow, John Kerry and religion.